to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Danielle. We're back together again.
We are. We got the band back. Might I say, your name is just so fun to say.
Yeah.
Mary Jo Perino.
Yeah, it's fun.
I know your married name, you know, is Ford.
It's not as fun to say.
Mary Jo Ford.
Right. It's, yeah. It doesn't have the same ring to it.
Nor does mine. Dan Reefer.
What is this, the 70s?
It doesn't have the same pizzazz. And Josh, did you notice that people we work with are now calling our producer Josh, which I've always just called him Josh, or Man Bun now.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling him Greeny, like Mike Greenberg from
Oh, because his last name's Green?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Well, yeah, you'll take it. It's a national radio host. You like that?
I'm sticking with Man Bun.
Samurai Warrior.
Yes.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, you look so much like Tom Cruise.
Wait a minute. Thank you. Wait a minute. What do we got? What are we drinking today? Let me see.
We're drinking coffee.
Coffee?
I kicked the Mountain Dew.
You kicked the Mountain Dew.
It's very difficult.
This is a big day.
Do you have the shakes?
Yeah.
The Baja shakes. Or whatever. The high voltage shakes.
Because I thought I was thinking we're calling the Mountain Dew Warrior or the Sundrop Warrior would be good. Citrus Drop Warrior. But is the do you have sugar in the coffee? No?
Cream.
Just cream. Mm-hmm. This is a great, I mean, this is a big step, Josh, because the Mountain Dew, the sugar and the carbs in that Mountain Dew, is you're just going to pay for it in your 40s.
So yeah, because it hasn't seemingly affected you at all to this point.
No, you can do whatever
you
want.
You look like the picture of health.
You do whatever you want in your 20s. It's going to get you in your 30s and 40s.
And judging by Josh in his 20s.
It's going to be bad news.
The next decade ain't going to be pretty.
I watched the Cubs last night. Of course, a huge game today. Kentucky and
huge
Missouri.
Huge game today.
You went to Missouri. I went to Kentucky.
I did.
So we're just going to duke it out right here in the studio. But we have Coach Steve Ortmeier with us today, and we
are the de facto pregame show now.
Yes, we will preview this game all the way through, beginning at 10:30. We'll really get into it around 10:30, and then we'll break away from football at 11:30 and talk to Evan Daniels of Scout.com, also now of FS1.
Yes.
He's
got his own podcast now.
He is a big deal.
Yeah.
And we've had him on the show before, but since the last time and this time, I've probably tried to get him 3 or 4 times. He was like, I'm in a gym at that time. I'm on a plane at that time.
Yeah.
I'm taping a show at that time. I'm just too busy. He's not busy today. So we're going to break away at 11:30 and talk to Evan Daniels.
And he was just in practice.
Yes.
At Cal's practice the other day. So we should hear some interesting things from that too.
We will. And he's close to that staff. He knows those guys well. So, yes, Evan Daniels is always very insightful. It's just a matter of how much he wants to give you because he knows it all. And then next segment here, going to do the high school football report. It was the regular season finale, the last night of the regular season in high school football last night. We'll go over the highlights. It won't be nearly as in-depth because so many of those games are just meaningless.
Yeah.
But there's some good matchups, some fun stuff. And then I'll really get into the playoffs tomorrow. Like, give predictions, break it down, look at the whole playoff picture tomorrow.
So should I, like, prepare something, too?
You could, if you pull up the playoff bracket online, on your phone.
Yes.
That'll be all you need.
Yeah. It'll seem like I'm really well-versed in it.
I'll send you my notes.
Yeah.
you can just look at that. But the Cubs last night, I had to watch the Cubs after I got home. I don't know why I did this to myself, but...
So you were not on Twitter, you did not, or did you know what?
No, I did find out.
Okay,
a little
I was
going
to say it'd be hard to totally avoid finding out.
Yeah, well, you're in a TV station. There's a big screen TV in the office with that game.
And
on.
People are going to have the World Series on. Yeah.
So that's just that. I mean, I'm busy enough that I'm not watching it, but I know, I think I saw the double play that the Cubs made in the fourth or fifth that was really with the bases loaded.
So just let me back up here for a second. So you know that the Cubs lost a 1-0 game, and you went and watched it anyway?
No, I didn't know that they lost.
Okay.
The last thing I saw, it was 1-0 in the seventh.
Okay.
And then I get home, and it's about 12:30 when I get home. And I turn on the TV, and it's on Fox 56, and I'm on it at that moment. We normally come on at 10:40, and it's about 12:40. So I know that we're 2 hours past what we should be on, which means that the game went late. I left the station at the 7th inning. It was 1-0.
Okay. I'm like,
okay, the Cubs did something here maybe. If the game went this long, something happened. Plus, I wanted to see, you know, kind of the atmosphere of the beginning first World Series game there since in 71 years.
There's nothing like the feeling, though, of going home, sitting down, turning on the TV, and you're on it.
Yeah. They're like, well, hey, there we are. Let's see how we did on this highlight. You know, for you folks that don't know, we use Fox 56. We use WKYT Studio. They have a newscast live at 11 o'clock. We use their studio. We can't be in there at the same time. So if we have the World Series on, we have to tape that newscast earlier. And since all of our games were over and we got the scores, there's no reason to stay around till midnight or 12:30, which is what a lot of times you do.
Oh, yeah.
If you have your own studio, you don't usually tape. You and I have both
never
been in that situation.
I've never taped.
We taped, and so that was – so I'm sitting in the recliner while the high school highlight show is on, which is nice, yes. But what about the bars that are charging – like $1,300 to get in if you want a spot in a Wrigleyville bar. Basically, you're just in a bar next to Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
So you get to walk out into the parties afterward. But I went to a party last night.
Now, has there been any part of you that's thought about going to Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
Trying to find a way?
I wanted to. A woman I work with is from there. She raised there, has a son, two sons that still live there. And she went on Thursday and took off and headed up there. And she was bound and determined to go to Wrigleyville. But, look, unless you got, you know, money to burn, you're not getting in.
Oh, you're not getting in, no.
Wrigleyville bar. At Murphy's Bleachers, they were open at 7:30, 8 o'clock, pouring beer for a game that starts at 7:30 p.m., 8 o'clock p.m. And then the one was $1,300 for entry. You got, I think, a couple appetizers, maybe an entree, and then unlimited drinks. So at least you get to drink as much as you want, but it's $1,300. And they probably don't mean unlimited as far as many.
Bring me 8 bottles of Cristal.
Yeah, or fireball shots all night, keep them coming. No. The thing that disappointed me, depressed me the most last night about the Cubs game, me being a Cubs fan, is Marv Levy was there, all right? Marv Levy, the former Bills coach.
Uh-huh.
Now, he just got out of the service or was on leave from the service, and he and his buddy got a ticket to Game 7 of the World Series at Wrigley Field, which, of course, the Cubs lost. That was 1945. I mean, he was, you know, I guess he was in World War II. Well, then, of course, Marv Levy went on to coach the Buffalo Bills to 4 consecutive Super Bowl
losses. Yeah.
So he has seen in person Game 7 loss, 1945 of the Cubs, last time they were there. And he went to the big game 4 times and lost all 4. Marv Levy, please, please leave Wrigley Field. Please don't come near that place. Oh, my gosh.
Of all the people that you would think would be like, the one guy I don't want showing up, Marv Levy.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is cool to see, like, John Cusack and Bill Murray. Did you see his seventh inning stretch?
That was anything Bill Murray does is amazing.
That was great.
But it was, yeah,
he sang
perfect.
It like Daffy Duck.
it was brilliant.
That was great. Love Bill Murray. And Derek Lee was back. Ryan Sandberg was sitting in there, which I thought Ryan Sandberg and the Cubs were kind of like on the outs because they didn't hire him to be the manager.
John Hamm was there.
Yeah, John Hamm.
Wonder if he'll show up at the game today. He is also a Mizzou alum.
Oh, I didn't realize
yes.
that. Well, this is a huge, huge, huge game today. I know we talked about last week how big of a win Mississippi State was, and it is.
Well, but if you keep winning, then the games get progressively bigger.
Yeah. This game today is made huge by the win over Mississippi State. Because, okay, you assume Kentucky's going to beat Austin Peay, and then but then in the back of your mind, maybe you're thinking, you never know, EKU last year. Look, Austin Peay has not won a single game in the OVC. They're 0-7. That's happening. Today is for bowl eligibility. Simply is. That's what today is for.
And we can, you know, ask Coach Ortmeier this, too, because I am a little bit surprised at, you know, Vegas is so rarely off by a whole lot.
I know.
And for the line to keep going up, like, what are they seeing out of Missouri and out of Kentucky? Who two teams that seem to be on completely different trajectories right now, why the line keeps growing?
Well, I think the biggest reason is they just don't trust Kentucky with the 1-14 record on the road under Stoops. Heck, last week you would think they would trust Kentucky after last week that line moved from 3 to 6 in favor of Mississippi State, and then Kentucky wins it, you know, by 2.
You know, Missouri just lost at home on homecoming to Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, they've lost 3 in a row.
And their two best defensive players are out with torn ACLs.
Yeah. God, those guys, they must have somebody inside
somewhere. I know, because right now, if you lay it all out, Kentucky seems to have everything going for it in this game. So I don't know what they know that we don't, but
you could name 5 things in favor of Kentucky and name like 1 against Kentucky in Mizzou's favor.
And that's just because it's being played in Missouri.
Yeah.
That's really it. And they do have, I will give the edge at the quarterback position to Missouri as well. Especially throwing the ball.
We'll get into this game a ton more with Coach Steve Ortmeier. He's in the studio right now. We'll do that in about 15 minutes and then pregame all the way. Again, Evan Daniels from Scout.com and FS1 at 11:30. And then next, we'll look at what happened on the gridiron around high school football fields across the Commonwealth last night on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And try to shut us down about
an hour ago, but we the Dan and this. Mary Jo we Show continues we after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
At Raising Cane's, we believe in one love, quality chicken finger meals. But creating one love is no simple task. Everything has to be served hot and fresh, not just hot. We use only 100% premium chicken tenderloins, guaranteeing a 0% chance of leftovers. We insist on the best ingredients for our fries, like potatoes. Well, we can keep talking quality, or you can just eat it. Raising Cane's, one love.
It's October, and at Raising Cane's in Lexington, that means football and tailgating. A Cane's tailgate full of chicken fingers and cane sauce is perfect for football tailgating. Go Cats! October also means raising coats with Cane's. Help provide coats to those in need this winter and drop off new or gently used coats at any Lexington area location before November 1st. And you get a card good for a buy one combo meal, get one free. Raising Cane's. One love for Lexington. It's the Arctic Cat factory authorized clearance sale going on now at MLS Power Sports. Come in today for the best prices ever on the awesome Wildcat X and X Limited and save up to $3,700. Ride away on an Altera 454x4 for only $47.99 with payments as low as $85 a month with approved credit. Don't miss out on this awesome Arctic Cat factory authorized clearance event only at MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Always wear a seatbelt on ROV. Arctic Cat recommends that all riders take a training course and that they read and understand their owner's manual before operation. For safety or training, see your dealer. Ride victoriously.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
Now's the time to take advantage of big savings at Aurora Pools and Spas. Save 60% off in-stock 2016 patio furniture and dining sets. Save 30% off outdoor accessories. Aurora is clearing out their showroom to make room for the 2017 styles arriving daily. Save 60% off in-stock 2016 patio furniture and dining sets and 30% off outdoor accessories. Cash in on big savings at Aurora today. 1512 Colesbury Circle in Lexington. Or call them at 299-2932. That's 299-2932. Aurora Pools and Spas.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
And Mary Jo, it is now time for the high school football report presented by LM Local sales manager, Don Trez.
Maybe someday.
Lexington Catholic, 23. Southwestern, 22. Now, Southwestern just coming off winning the district championship last week over Pulaski County, their rival down there in Somerset. And Larry French became the eighth coach in state history to have 300 career victories. He did that last week. Larry French has been around for a while. 1991, I believe it was, he led Meade County to the state championship game and lost to Dudley Hilton's Bell County team. And then he turned around and went to Boyle County and took them to back-to-back undefeated state championship seasons. And now he's at Southwestern. His son is there with him, and they're rolling. So last night they go to Lexington Catholic, and Catholic had lost five games in a row. But then, then got into the district and won all three of those. Beat Boyle County, Western Hills, and Garrett County to win the district. So this is just a game to kind of prepare you for the playoffs. This is the final night of the regular season. The games have no bearing on the playoffs whatsoever, other than if there's a tiebreaker in seeding. And then that's, I'm not even going to get into all that crazy math that goes into that. But the game had eight lead changes. Southwestern was down 20-16 and put together a 14-play, 80-yard drive that ate up 7.5 minutes of clock and scores the go-ahead touchdown with 41 seconds left, but misses the extra point. So the lead is 22-20. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there, so I don't know why they did this, but Southwestern's kickoff went 9 yards to its own 49-yard line. It didn't even cross midfield. So here's Lexington Catholic getting the ball with 39 seconds left already across midfield. Freshman quarterback Bo Allen completes three straight passes of 10 yards, 12 yards, and 22 yards to the 5-yard line with 4 seconds left, and Connor Fry hits a 23-yard field goal as time expires to win it 23-22. So fourth straight win for Lexington Catholic after that 5-game losing streak. Lex Kath, here's the cool part about this. Lex Kath, freshman O-line coach. He coaches the freshman O-line. TJ Parker proposed to his girlfriend at halftime on the field.
Aww.
Like the scene, if you go to Kentucky.com, Josh Moore has a video of it. And the guys, the team is all out there on the field. He's out on the field, and he proposes to her. And
She says yes.
She did say yes. Mm-hmm. But Lexington Catholic, they have been, I want to say, it is something like 8 years in a row they've been to the region, and maybe like 5 or 6 years in a row they've made it to the state semifinals. And it didn't look like it was going to happen this year, but they have
But not early on it didn't.
They have come on. LCA's first undefeated regular season in school history became real after beating Powell County 60-18 last night. LCA 10-0, first time in school history. Remember, they won the state championship in, I believe it was 09, but they did that in Class 1A. Well, since moving up to 2A 5 years ago, they'd never won the district title because they play with Danville and Somerset. And Somerset had been dominant in 2A. Danville, we know who they are. So LCA breaks through and wins its first district in Class 2A and then has its first 10-0 season. Madison Central and Madison Southern. Now, these two teams had played only three times before 2013. I mean, they're in the same county, but they didn't play each other because Central is a bigger, has always been a bigger school and has always been thought to have more athletes, more guys on that football team. And it was proven on the field in those three games that they played, all lopsided Madison Central wins. It all changed in 2013, Mary Jo, when Madison Southern had a kid by the name of Damian Harris. The leading rusher in the SEC at the moment, by the way, for the number one ranked team in the country, Alabama. Damian also leads the SEC in yards per carry at like 8.
Yeah, crushing it.
So in 2013, Damian Harris played for Madison Southern, and Southern beat Madison Central for the first time in school history and then won it again the next year. But Central won the game last year, and now for the fourth straight season, the two meet, and it goes to Madison Central for the second straight year. 28-14, the Indians win. Pulaski County, 49. Bourbon County, 38. Pulaski County wide receiver Jake Johnson, a Mr. Football candidate who already holds the state record for most career receptions, he became last night the state's all-time leader in receiving yards as well, 4,985. So now he's the state leader in catches and receiving yards, and he is not far off in the touchdown category. I don't know how many he needs in the playoffs, but he's not far off. He could have the triple crown in receiving in the state. He's got to be Mr. Football. By the way, his quarterback, Wiley Kane, broke the school's single-game passing record, going 33 for 45, 430 yards and 4 touchdowns. Not bad.
Not bad.
Scott County wins at Covington Catholic, 35-28. The game was tied at 28 in the fourth quarter. Jacob Burton, 15-yard go-ahead TD run early in the fourth that held up. Henry Clay, 21-14 winners over Campbell County. Boyle County beat Dunbar, 14-7. Tates Creek went to Ashland Blazer and lost 23-12. Now this, to me, this next game, biggest game in the state. This would be, this is awesome. Belfry and Johnson Central. And these two teams are not in the same classification. They have no reason to play each other other than they just want to see who's better. Just, you know, just to beat up on each other and see who has bragging rights. Because Johnson Central, undefeated going into this game. Belfry, their only loss was to a team in West Virginia. So,
yeah, Belfry's really something.
And they're both ranked number one in their respective classes. I think Johnson Central's one in 4A, and Belfry is number one in 3A. Belfry wins the game 21-16, so it's Johnson Central's first loss of the season. Like, I would love to see Trinity Belfry. Those big mountain boys that just pound it and pound
it. Yeah, you wonder
what, it.
Yeah.
With Trinity's athleticism and speed and just tradition and fundamentals, I mean, it would just be great. Not to mention Philip Haywood and Bob Beatty. Is that right? Bob Beatty's Trinity
yes.
coach, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Casey County. We had Coach Steve Stonebreaker on the show, you know, a few weeks ago because of what they're doing there in Liberty, and it is crazy. Casey County finishes with an 8-1 record after beating Adair County last night, 36-26. It's the best regular season record in school history, and that ties the school record for wins. So all Casey County has to do is win its first-round playoff matchup, which it will do next week, and they will have its most wins in a season ever. And that, guys, you know, it's like I've talked to some people who've never lived outside of Lexington, never left Lexington, don't go anywhere else. It's just here. But, guys, in this state, you go to these rural communities out in the county, and this stuff means everything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Casey County and Liberty are on cloud 9 right now, and those kids that are part of it, they're never going to forget this. This is the time of their lives right now.
That's the stuff you talk about 20, 30 years from now, right?
Yes. Just like me when I talk about my alma mater, Williamsburg, and our 2-9 season my senior year. I remember the grass from the last home game. Williamsburg did exactly what I predicted they would do, Mary Jo. They were down on the mat, forgotten, 1-4. After losses to LCA, Somerset, Leslie County, and Paintsville.
But those were all really good teams, Dan.
And I said the Berg would run the table, yeah, the rest of the way. And they did win their 8th district title in 11 years, Mary Jo. Oh, yeah. That's right. Williamsburg's 10-point season opening loss to LCA. A game it led in the fourth quarter against undefeated LCA? Oh, yeah. That's the closest anyone's come to beating LCA, Mary Jo, except Danville, which also led LCA in the fourth quarter before losing the game by two. Jacket Pride is what I'm talking about, Mary Jo Perino. Jacket Pride, oh yeah. Because the cream rises to the top, oh yeah.
Great job by Williamsburg.
That was amazing. That was amazing.
Williamsburg beats Middlesbrough 38-10 last night to run the table. They've won, let's see, five in a row. They're going into the playoffs on a high. Two times.
My cheeks hurt from watching that. That was awesome.
So tomorrow, we will break down the high school football playoffs. One of the crazy things is about the playoffs. I don't know if I've ever heard of this before, but I've never read it before. So I don't know if it's ever happened before, but it just seems odd to me. There are 48 district champs, 48 districts in all the six classes. The number one seeds, the district champions, throughout all six classes, 47 of them went undefeated against their district. Like, swept the district. Nobody beat them. The only exception was 1A, District 5, and that was Nicholas County, Bracken County, and Bishop Brosser. Bishop Brosser just started football, like, last year. Like a few years ago. Bracken County, the Polar Bears, I saw them maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They had, like, 13 players total. I mean, Nicholas...
That's tough. Tough to win with that.
Nicholas County has had their moments here and there, but... mostly, say 55% rough years. And then all of a sudden, all three of them have good teams at the same time. Because, I mean, Nicholas County is 9-1. Bracken is 8-2. Brossard is 8-2. And they all beat the other one. So they all finished 3-1
in the district.
Three-way tie in the district. And that's the only one where the district champ didn't sweep.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That does seem like it.
Yeah.
A crazy stat.
So it wound up tiebreakers were decided, and it wound up Nicholas County is the number one overall seed. Then Bracken County is the two seed, which means Bishop Brossard, the three seed, will have to travel for its first game. And one last thing on high school football before we get to a break and we begin previewing the UK-Missouri game. Undefeated teams entering the playoffs, seven of them. In 1A, it's Paintsville. That's it. In 2A, it's Mayfield and LCA. No teams are unbeaten in 3A. In 4A, it's Franklin Simpson. In 5A, it's Bowling Green, who, a little foreshadowing, I got a feeling I'm going to pick them to win the 5A state title and not get
But beat. Still tune in tomorrow.
6A, Trinity and Ryle are both undefeated. And Ryle and Simon Kenton are the two top dogs that come from up there to come here.
Yes, yeah.
And take on the schools from Lexington. So when it comes down to...
Yeah, the Lexington schools have a tough
road
because they play that Northern Kentucky district.
This region right here, you got Scott County, Lafayette, and then Ryle and Simon Kenton.
Mm-hmm.
And those four will decide which one goes... One of those is going on to the semis. And, I mean, those are four really good teams that only have one go to the semis. So we will get into all that tomorrow, playoff predictions, and set it up for high school football. But next, Coach Steve Ortmeier. He has NFL coaching experience. He was on Rich Brooks' staff. We're going to talk about Mark Story from the Herald Leader, his column about comparing 2006 to 2016. Coach Ortmeier was there.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some good stuff. He's got it all laid out. He's ready to go. He's got notes written in color-coded. I see green ink. I see blue ink. I see red ink. I mean, he is on top of it over here.
Yes.
So
he and I couldn't be more different in our preparation for this show.
I have out a notepad with a pen. I'm going to take notes as he does his thing, and then maybe I'll be better tomorrow. Back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Doesn't matter where you're going. The new Acura MDX with available super handling all-wheel drive follows your instincts. Handling tight turns and open roads with three intuitive drive modes. While standard safety-minded Acura Watch Advanced Driver Assist keeps an extra eye on the road. Test drive the MDX at your local dealer today. Acura, precision crafted performance.
This is our point of view. don't just build an SUV, build the SUV you want to drive. Build the new 2017 Acura MDX. Give it room for up to 7 passengers. An integrated dynamic system with 3 unique drive modes. And safety features that see what you might miss. Standard. The new 2017 Acura MDX. Acura. Precision-crafted performance.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our 4 convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic banking center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown.
Dog bite. Morgan & Morgan at ForThePeople.com.
Don't take chances with your fine clothing. Come to Emperor's Cleaners and have your clothes treated like royalty. Emperor's Cleaners will make you look good every day. Or for special occasions, Emperor's Cleaners also preserves wedding gowns to make them look as good as new. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in leather cleaning, shirt laundry, custom work, and alterations. You'll find them in the Idle Hour Shopping Center on Richmond Road. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 until 3. Emperor's Cleaners treats you and your clothes like royalty.
When football is back and basketball is around the corner, why not make your game day experience an incredible dining experience as well? Come to Tony's Steaks and Seafood before or after the football game. Big screen TVs, fantastic service, wonderful atmosphere, and the best food anywhere. And during basketball at Rupp, you'll see a sign that says, "You're a minute away from the best steak you've ever had." Tony's, on Main Street, across from Triangle Park. Visit TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
For the win. Straight away. Snap is down. McGinnis. Wildcats win.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key, popping that water, man. Jackie. It's a party. It's a party. It's a party. It's a party.
Oh, doesn't that feel good?
Yes. Still does. Still does.
I mean, I can't hear that song without thinking about great things for Kentucky football. Because I just picture them dancing up and down, just all of them, just in celebration. Hopefully, they're playing that song on the plane home this evening when Kentucky comes back from Columbia, Missouri. I'm Dan Reefer. Mary Jo Perino's here, and so is Coach Steve Ortmeier. Normally, he and Neil Jackson do the pregame show for UK football. Well, we told Neil, hey, just take the morning off. We got this. Chill. I know you work hard. You do high school football on Friday night. You're up here at 4 in the morning doing the traffic and weather reports and all that stuff. Neil, take it easy.
Relax. You don't think it was because Coach Ort was like, I really want to work with Dan and Mary Jo.
I've been trying to hide that, Mary Jo. I didn't want to embarrass Neil.
Well, we're excited. We're excited to get to do this with you, Coach. This is fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, too.
So, Mississippi State, it had been a while since Kentucky had beaten them. How big is that win going into today?
Well, they had a 7-game, streak going ever since Coach Mullen had been there, and we put that to bed last week. But we've been talking on the pregame show about this is kind of a process for Kentucky to get where they want to get, and I felt that the number one thing from having coached it. Kentucky for 9 years, I felt that the number one thing is you got to put Vanderbilt in the rearview mirror. You absolutely can't let Vanderbilt mm-hmm. hang around in your life. That's the number one step you got to take. We took it. The number two step you got to take, in my opinion, is the permanent SEC West team, which is Mississippi State. now we put that one in the rearview mirror. It was a tight one, but we got it done. And I think now probably the third thing in a logical progression is you've got to learn to win on the road, and we have a chance to do that today.
Well, it's UK's third straight home SEC win for the first time since 1996. And it's the first time UK's won its first three SEC home games since 1990. So it's been a while. Now you can say, okay, South Carolina's down. Their offense is horrible. Vanderbilt's offense is horrible. Vanderbilt beat Georgia.
Yeah, well, but the SEC East has been down a few years, and Kentucky hadn't been able to capitalize on it. So, doesn't bother me if some of these other teams are down. There's been years where Kentucky hasn't beaten those teams when they've been down. So you've got to, as Coach Ortmeier says, take steps in that progression.
Well, yeah, and these teams being down is a little bit of a relative term too, because in all honesty, Vanderbilt's a good football team. Vanderbilt is a good football team. They have no offense.
Yeah.
But they're a good football team, which I think we'll see the remainder of the year. And we saw it at Georgia a week ago.
Yeah, at Georgia. You know, they went on the road and got that win.
Now, you could also make the argument that Mississippi State, it's no argument, they're having their worst season since Dan Mullen's first season. And now Missouri is 2-5. Their only wins, Eastern Michigan and Delaware State. My point in saying all this is if you're Kentucky and you're in your fourth year of a building project, you have to be the best of these teams. You have to be the best of a Vanderbilt, a South Carolina, a Missouri, and your permanent opponent from the West, a Mississippi State. If you want to get to where you're going, then you beat the teams that aren't doing so well that are in your conference. And Missouri is not doing so well.
That's a very good point. Missouri's in a transition phase. Missouri's really in a transition phase because they're coming from being a good football team that competed very favorably in the SEC East when they initially came into the league out of the Big 12. And they came in really as opposed to Texas A&M, who came in as a Big 12 team. Missouri came in more like an SEC team. Missouri played great defense. Mm-hmm. Missouri was very soundly coached. And all of a sudden, they are in a transition phase, and they have become more of a Big 12 team and less of an SEC team. And they're going through the growing pains of that right now. And so it's been a little bit tough on them. But
I hadn't thought about it like that, but that's exactly right. I mean, that's when they got to two SEC championship games. That was predicated almost solely on their defense.
Well, yeah, and we're using these loose terms, but you can't play football in the SEC and win as a Big 12 team.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. They're finding that out this year.
They're trying.
A&M found it out the last two or three years.
Yep.
A&M has turned into an SEC team this year, and Missouri's gone the other way. So it's very interesting, but. I heard you guys talking in the last segment. By the way, I thought the Williamsburg segment was outstanding.
Oh, thank you, Coach Ortmeier. Thank you.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
I recruited Williamsburg for 9 years. I tried to create a player down there, but there's so much intrigue going on in Whitley County and Laurel County with high school kids. It's unbelievable. I heard you guys talking about how and why should this line be six?
Yeah, I don't get it.
For Missouri, and the only thing I can come up with is this. First of all, this all started a week ago in its strangeness to me. From the minute the line came out on the Mississippi State game, I couldn't believe that. I thought they had made the wrong favorite. If you watch the game, you'd never make Mississippi State the favorite in that game. This was a game that Kentucky was a better team and should win basically every time they play. This game, I think what's happening is this. Even though Missouri is 2-5, the last 2 weeks they did something that is very, very tough. They ran the ball for 265 yards against Florida. Yeah. LSU and Bama can't do that.
Yeah.
They ran the ball for for 348 yards, 350 yards against Middle Tennessee last week. Now, that's Middle Tennessee, and that's not Florida, but the Florida 265 is a big stat. So all of a sudden, they find themselves on a little bit of an offensive roll, and I think that there hasn't been any credibility established since week one and week two of this year with Kentucky's defense against this kind of a team. And I think that's what the Vegas people are doing, is basing it on, can Kentucky be a real defense against somebody that can really move the ball?
Yeah, because Missouri has had three games where it's gained over 600 yards of offense, and it did it against Middle Tennessee in a loss. I want to say there's another game against an SEC foe. Maybe it was Georgia, where they put up something like 500 yards.
Yeah, they lost to Georgia in the last minute. Yeah. I mean, this is a better football team than their record. There isn't any question about it. Losing to Middle Tennessee is no. I mean, you can slip up, and that can happen because Middle Tennessee can really throw the football. They can throw the football, and they can beat you on a given day.
Yeah. Who's over there?
Tony Franklin.
Yeah, Tony Franklin. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And now, Kentucky's defense, though, all right, the first three games versus the last four games, first three games we know, Kentucky's defense was horrible. UK defense went from allowing 243 rushing yards per game to 171 yards per game. From 285 passing to 178, from 528 total yards to 350, from 43.7 points a game down to 23.8. This is the first three games versus the last four. From allowing opponents to convert third down 57.7% of the time down to 37.2% of the time. So over these last four games, which includes Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, this defense has really
improved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, throw Alabama in that group, and you're exactly right. But I think that the perception is that against a prolific offense, Kentucky still hasn't proved it, which they have a chance to do today. This is a chance to reestablish themselves kind of in the conversation of being a true team that can play to whatever the spread is.
All right, before we take a break, we got Mark on the line. Wanted to talk UK basketball, so we'll take a quick UK basketball question here, and then we'll go to break. We'll come back and talk more football. Mark, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good. Hey. How are you?
All right. I was calling. I want to know, Calipari, I want to know, how does he get so many players, just, you know, all the egos to fit in? And I think, you know, he is one of the most underappreciated coaches in college basketball, because he's doing things that's never been done, as far as taking great players and making them all come together. And looking at Golden State, you know, they can't even in the pros, they can't even put all them players together and, you know, get it going. And Calipari's doing it in like 6 months with high school kids. And it's amazing what he's doing.
I think what helped him out.
Well, I think that's why his name always comes up as an NBA coach, too, because he does manage personalities so well.
Well, remember, at the time, Calipari was coming here to Kentucky and getting DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall and Eric Bledsoe to all want to come here. Remember what else was happening in the NBA?
Yeah.
LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh were joining up in Miami. I think that played a little bit into it, and he's able to sell that a little bit better. Plus, he's a master marketer. I mean, he has a degree in marketing, so he's able to convince these kids and these families. Now, once he proves it, that it works, now he can go into these places, and then he can also pick the kid he wants. Not go and say, I want all of you. One of you, please pick me. He goes in and says,
you're going to fit here.
Yeah, there's an issue with you. There's an issue with you. I don't like this. You are perfect. You would fit perfect here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he's able to pick those guys, the right guys, because not everybody can come here and do it. They just don't have that mindset or that makeup or that character or that mental toughness.
Yes, but I'm noticing even the players in the NBA, it's like once they go to Kentucky, they all still together. It's like a family atmosphere with all the players that came here through Calipari.
Cousins and Booker.
Well, Dan, I think one of the things that Calipari has created now recently, since Cousins, one of the things that he has created that is really working for him is that he – lays it out for that kid before he comes here. He says, this is what I'm going to ask of you. Are you buying in? And they commit to that. before they come.
Here's the path to millions of dollars in just about less than 12 months. In less than a year, this is what I can do for you. Are you going to trust me and do these things that I ask of you?
See, that's what you don't get to do in an NBA or an NFL mm-hmm. draft. You don't get to get that commitment from your guy before you bring him in.
Yeah. And I will also say, I think he is honest with them about how tough it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But then I did notice Sasha Calais-Jones the other day tweeted, I can't count how many times I've said, I've never been this tired in my life since I've been here. So almost every day I'm more tired than the next day.
And when you have got, it's rare for the high school coach to have one of these talents that can play at Kentucky and then that coach be extremely hard on that kid. I mean, I even see it in football where I remember Calipari said, that year that they didn't make the tournament, that they lost to,
Robert Morris?
Yeah, Robert Morris. He said he wasn't going to let his team be held hostage again. I see high school football teams get held hostage by poor attitudes, but if they don't play that kid, then maybe he doesn't just lose that kid. He loses his three friends who don't want to deal with the coach who's too hard on them. So it's just a tough balance. So once they get here, it's, hey, it's my way or the highway, and there's no exceptions. And this team right here, though, they all seem to have already bought in. And one more thing to Mark's question is I think 2012 clearly showed that it could be done, and that's why Mike Krzyzewski has decided to use the same approach. Because if you want the best players, you have to be able to give them what they want, which is a path to the NBA as quickly as possible. And if it's successful in college for winning and winning championships, then it's okay to do it, Duke.
Absolutely.
All right, more football with Coach Ortmeier next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, gals, can we talk seriously for a minute? It's about me, your car. You know I've been making some weird noises. And these brakes, whew, let's get something done before we break down completely. And there's only one place to go, Danville Foreign Cars. Remember they fixed your husband's boat earlier this year? They do it all. Hybrids, electric cars, all makes and models of foreign cars, vintage and new. So stop putting it off and get me to Danville Foreign Cars. While we can still get there, they're on Lebanon Road. Danville Foreign Cars, the service specialists.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is all wink, wink, hush, hush.
Stick to the script.
At the Body Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, e-cigs, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Body Bay, we're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Body Bay. 420 East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
Treat your clothes like royalty by treating them to Emperor's Cleaners. With over 40 years of experience, Emperor's Cleaners has everything your clothes need. Fine clothiers even recommended Emperor's for brands like St. John's Knits. They specialize in same-day service. Bring in your shirts by 9 a.m., they'll be done the same day. Emperor's Cleaners is a family-run business, ensuring top-quality service. Located on Richmond Road in the Eidelauer Plaza, Emperor's Cleaners will treat you and your clothes like royalty.
You can trust your car to Fleet Doc.
Most families and businesses have a fleet of vehicles, and everyone needs a vehicle doctor they can trust. At Fleet Doc, we are a trusted vehicle doctor. From oil changes to complete engine replacements, Fleet Doc does it all, and at fleet prices. See them for all your service needs, and tire inspections are always free on Contract Street near Greens Toyota or at fleet-doc.com.
Fleet Doc. Doc's got the cure that your car needs. Fleet Doc Drive.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Coach Steve Ortmeier is in the studio with us this morning as we preview Kentucky's game at Missouri. Noon kickoff time on the SEC Network. By the way, little factoid here. Kentucky is 4-0 when playing on the SEC Network this season.
I'll buy that.
That's good. We'll take it.
Because that's where it is today.
All right, Coach, let me ask you this. Kentucky's played at night most of the season. Is it different for a noon game, especially on the road?
It is, and it's particularly different for this team. When I was here at Kentucky, we always thought the best thing we did when we got here with Coach Brooks was – go to morning practices for two or three reasons. Number one, because kids can't stay out all night. College kids like to stay out too. I mean, some of these guys, their evening starts at 11 p.m. and mm-hmm. and they're in at 3 or 4 and that kind of thing. You can't do that if you're going to practice and at 7 or 7:30, and you got to be in meetings at 7 or 7:30. Got to be in the training room at probably 6:30. You got to be in bed. So we always felt that for a number of reasons, that was the best thing we did. It also works out on a game like Missouri because that's your normal practice time. The central time zone, it becomes your normal practice time. But for this team, it's not. This team is an afternoon practice time. So they have to probably got on a different kind of a schedule this week to prepare themselves for the game being an 11 o'clock game.
Yeah, I mean, that's early, and you're not at home. So
body time it is, yep.
Yeah, I always wonder how that so I guess that might be the other thing that maybe is in Mizzou's favor today.
11 a.m. local time. You know, I don't know. Would you rather be on the road if you have to play at 11 a.m. local time or be at home? So for me, I don't know.
Always easier playing at home because it
sleep in your own bed.
Routine, that's exactly right. The routine football is a routine kind of a situation, and the routine of being at home is always an easier situation for a team to play out of. Missouri has a couple of other things going against them today. Obviously, as Mary Jo said earlier, they have three key starters that they're missing today.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a problem for them. And
Terry Beckner's been their, you know, defensive leader.
Yeah, and their leading tackler, sure.
Yeah,
is
gone, also gone.
Gone also. So, you know, they've had trouble stopping people. They have played well against non-Power 5 teams. They have played poorly against Power 5 teams. It's like a night and day football team this year. And obviously they're up against another SEC opponent today, so we hope that trend continues. But they have not played well against the SEC teams.
Now, Florida, you mentioned the rushing yards they had against Florida. They lost to LSU, lost to Georgia, Jacob Eason. You know, the legend
the last
was born
second,
in
yeah.
that game with that touchdown
and
pass.
And later died.
Yeah. And then lost their season opener to West Virginia, and then lost last week to MTSU. Now, here is one of the things, the Big Blue report that I do during the week, this is one of my focuses of it this week, was what Mizzou did to hurt itself against MTSU. There were two turnovers that led to 10 points. Then they had a bad snap on a punt inside their own 10-yard line. So MTSU gets the ball at the 7. I mean, that's a touchdown. They had two third down stops that were negated by penalties. Where have we heard this before?
Yeah.
Right. So five key bad play situations affected that game, and you can't do that against a decent team, which Middle Tennessee is a decent team. You certainly can't do it against a good team.
Yeah, so those third down stops that were negated by penalties extended the drive. Those both resulted in TDs. All told, Mizzou's miscues resulted in 31 MTSU points. Now, Kentucky, I think, is still trying to overcome shooting itself in the foot, but they've overcome overcoming shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, one of the things that Coach Stoops harped on this week, not harped on, but re-emphasized several times this week, is this team has learned to play and respond to adversity. And they continue to do that. They continue to do that a little bit better every week. And they really did play good pass defense last week against Mississippi State. Now, that's not Missouri, but they played good pass defense in the secondary. They haven't proven that they can get after a quarterback yet, in my opinion, but they're going to get a chance today because this offensive line at Missouri is protecting their quarterback, fifth best in the nation, and even though they are an inexperienced offensive line, they're not a young offensive line, but they're inexperienced, they are preventing people from causing havoc in their backfield.
I also think, sorry, Dan, go ahead.
Just to support his point, Mizzou has allowed the fewest tackles for a loss in the country.
Yep.
Two per game. Leads the SEC in fewest sacks allowed, less than one per game.
Yep. So
but you did, both of you mentioned turnovers, right? And Steven Johnson is actually leading the nation in fumbles.
Yeah.
Not a great stat. So how important, but all
the guy
that,
who has the ball in his hands on almost every single play.
But his demeanor has been okay through it. I don't feel like he gets super rattled by it, but he can't continue.
He's a tough kid, and what he's doing, Mary Jo, is he is doing everything that has been, I'm kind of a little bit of a Steven Johnson fan, more than I was a month ago right now, because he's doing everything asked of him except protect the football. Mm. And he's got to come through in that area, particularly on the road. He's got to be a ball secure. In fact, one of the keys to this game, in my opinion, is which quarterback can have the best ball security in this game. I think that team wins.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were talking about overcoming adversity, and there's no matter what game you play, and something's going to get thrown at you, but you don't want to do it to yourself if you can help it. So I know the coaches have talked to Steven Johnson. It's been a focus for him over the last month, really, you know, and Nick Saban even talked about it before after the Alabama game, that they knew he had some ball security issues, so they focused on that.
Well, yeah, and Coach Stoops went back to the IQ situation last week with Johnson dropping that ball on whatever it was, the 4-yard line or whatever. But in my opinion, the coaches shouldn't have given him the opportunity to make that read and continue to hold the ball. That was in my opinion, a coaching mistake. But they felt that they were beyond that, and that Johnson had that IQ and that he could get to the ground and we could kick a field goal and go home. But it didn't work that way, and we learned a lesson and dodged a bullet.
Well, to Eddie Grand's credit, the offensive coordinator, he said that was a bonehead call. It was his mistake.
Good. I didn't hear him say that, but that's the way I would look at it, too.
Yeah, he said he should not have put him in that position, and he was mad at himself for it. So he did take credit for that. On the turnovers, UK has committed at least two turnovers in every game this season, and opponents have scored off those turnovers in every one of those games except one. That was South Carolina. The 18 turnovers this season for Kentucky have resulted in 11 touchdowns and 2 field goals. That's 83 points. Now, here's the other side of this. UK's 18 turnovers are only 2 more than 7-0 Clemson, 6-1 Louisville, and 5-2 Tennessee. So you can turn the ball over and win, as we saw against Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. It just makes it harder. But this is a bigger trend for Kentucky. UK has committed, is it my phone?
No.
No, sorry. UK has committed at least one turnover in 34 of 43 games under Mark Stoops. He's coached 43 games here at Kentucky. And in all the games, only 9 times has Kentucky not turned the ball over. So he's had a problem with it for a while.
He has, and they tend to get things corrected in time. But they're going to have to get this one corrected because this is a real anomaly. For them to have won 4 games, turning the ball over the way they're turning over is really astonishing.
And my fear is that it comes, you know, back to bite them at some point.
Yeah.
You can't continue to do that and get breaks and win games.
That's a good point.
Great stuff here with Coach Ortmeier. We'll continue after this on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
J. Render's Southern Table and Bar is your game day tailgate headquarters before, during, and after the game. Pre-order tailgate packages online at jrendersbbq.com for pork, brisket, wings, chicken, and all the sides to kick off your game day. Not going to the game? Join J. Render's Southern Table and Bar for happy hour pricing with 75-cent jumbo smoked wings and bucket of beer specials during all UK games. And all day on Sunday for the NFL. J. Render's Southern Table and Bar, your tailgate headquarters, 3191 Beaumont Center Circle. If it's not smoked, it's not barbecue.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our four convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic banking center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown.
Jeez, I'm never gonna make the first post.
Relax. Enjoy the ride. Just leave the driving to LexTrans this fall meet. Park downtown and hop on Route 21 at the Transit Center for just a buck each way, now through October 29th. A schedule is available at lextran.com/Keeneland. Relax, take the LexTran shuffle to Keeneland, and enjoy the meet.
Here's what another satisfied customer, and from Lexington, has to say about Barkley Blevins.
They treat me like family. I've watched John grow up over the 30-plus years they've worked with me. They've replaced water heaters, sump pumps, sewer pipes, furnaces, air conditioners, toilets, and faucets. They've done it all. And I like when the technician sits and chats with me at the kitchen table while filling out the ticket. There's no one else I would trust, and you should trust them too.
Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Check them out at barkleyblevins.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLXG Lexington and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our four convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic banking center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown.
You know, if you're like me, about two or three times a week, you think, man, I'd love some pizza. And when that happens, there's only one place to go. It's a neighborhood place. It's the original Brooklyn Pizza. It's right over there on Clay's Mill and Keithshire. Families love it. Everybody loves it. They have great food, great entrees, fresh salads, and the best pizza anywhere. Keno and a full bar. It's the original Brooklyn Pizza on Clay's Mill and Keisha.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children.
Offices, Lexington.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Well, we have been privileged, Mary Jo, to be joined by Coach Steve Ortmeier here this morning. I mean, guys, if you don't know his resume, maybe you think...
He's forgotten more about football than we'll ever know.
Yeah. You're just remembering that he coached with Rich Brooks at UK. And you just remember that every time there was a special teams mistake, you said his name. That's what happens. Because as Stoops has said time and again, you don't talk about special teams until that there's a mistake made, and then you're like, hey, but UK special teams have actually been pretty good this year under Matt House. But
they've been better, they have.
But Coach Ortmeier here has been a former general manager of the Chargers in the NFL for 26 years, 14 of those with the Raiders. You coached with John Madden, with Tom Flores. You hired Rich Brooks to the St. Louis Rams. You were the GM in charge of the move from Anaheim to St. Louis. So, hey, I challenge you to
find... And now
they're
back. What do you think about that?
I personally am very disappointed in them. I think that was a lousy move by Stan Kroenke. St. Louis didn't do anything to deserve to lose that team.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, I challenge you to go across your radio dial and find anyone with the football knowledge of Coach Ortmeier this morning. But we got a couple guys who want to tap into that knowledge. Al has been on and waiting. Al, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Good morning, Mary Jo, Dan, and Coach. It's good to talk to you again, sir.
All right. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that Dan talked about your resume. You've been a football guy for seemingly, a few decades, and you and I shared some interesting thoughts about the Oakland Raiders and about the old school football back in the day. I think Coach Stoops brought some guys in that we thought was going to be an integral part in the season moving forward, Drew Barker and Matt Elam, and they have not been able to fly out like we had hoped. But we certainly can see where guys that was not expected to play and log big minutes have done great. We like the Snail kid, so you and I and Neil talked about him a lot last week. And I think Steven Johnson, although he might fumble the ball and been careless with the football and handling it, and has hurt teams and hurt us in the red zone, but I thought he threw a very nice pass to Dorian Baker, who dropped a touchdown that could have won the game and it wouldn't put so much anxiety on our field goal kicker.
That would have been a tough catch. I was down there in the end zone. That would have been an incredible catch. I mean, it was a great ball.
That would have been a tough catch. But yeah. But it's in all honesty, it's time for Baker to step up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got it, Barry Joe. You know, when you play in the SEC, you got to make those SEC type catches.
That's true. You're right.
And I mean, that's what gets you on ESPN highlights is those type of catches. And I think that although moving forward, Coach, I think that you probably would be able to. I don't have to ask you a whole bunch of questions about Coach Stoops and what he's done. I think that you probably have already commented about that. But what do you think we need to do moving forward? Do you think we need to crouch down a little bit more on the defensive end, or come up with a couple more gadget plays just to get our other skill players involved? Or what do you think we need to do moving forward?
Well, what we're going to need to do this week is to we're meeting a different situation than anything we've played against this year. In my opinion, this is a team that is very prolific and can throw the ball. This team ran 110 plays a week ago, and they've run over 100 plays twice. That's two football games. That doesn't happen. And so something has to happen relative to that today to bring this game into a perspective for us. And what has to happen is this. Two things I see have to happen. Number one, the running game has to be big today. You've got to keep Missouri off the field as much as you possibly can. You've got to extend the running game. You've got to extend drives. The special teams game is less important today than in any other game this year. The thing that is important is ball possession today and being able to keep Missouri off the field. That's where this thing has to start today.
Yeah, because Missouri can score quickly.
Yeah, Missouri can score quickly, and like I say, field position is not near as important today because with Josh Heupel as their offensive coordinator, he has turned this thing into a Big 12 kind of a situation offensively, and they spread the field, they throw it around, and now that their running game is starting to coalesce, they're a very prolific offensive team.
Coach, let me ask you one other quick question before I hang up. It's kind of an administrative question. Athletic directors in this day and age of the new age football and the new age basketball, and you as administrator, as a GM, how difficult is it for to be an athletic director? If you was to put your feet in Mitch Barnhart's shoes You have to make tough decisions that the ADs have to make in this day and age. Can you sort of parallel what they have to do as general managers versus NFL general managers, ADs, and it's a similar business because you're dealing with big money. Can you talk a little bit about that, and I'll hang up. I enjoy your show. Y'all enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, Al.
Okay.
Being an AD in college football and a general manager in the NFL really is not totally similar because Mitch Barnhart has his finger in 100 pies that a general manager in the NFL does not have, and Mitch has done a tremendous job with the minor sports at University of Kentucky, the best of anybody I see in the whole country. He's doing a wonderful job of that. Coaching in the NFL, head coaching in the NFL, and head coaching in college football is a very different game. Also, head coaching in the NFL is a complete blue collar situation. You see the guys like Belichick that are very, very successful. They don't have any administrative ability whatsoever, really, and they have no PR ability. But they don't need it. They are blue collar football coaches. When you're a head coach of a university like Kentucky, you have to be a face of the program, It's a very, very different situation.
Well, you have to be the face of the program because your face of the program changes every few years as far as players goes. Whereas an NFL team, Tom Brady is the face of the Patriots. Yeah,
That's exactly right.
But Belichick can do his own thing. It doesn't cost him a bit. Greg Popovich hasn't cost him a bit to not be friendly with the media, to be PR.
That's right.
Friendly.
That's what pro sports is. Pro sports is a blue collar job. College sports is more of a white collar job as a head coach.
I gotta say this: him being Coach Ortmeier, being with the Raiders for 14 years, being there with Madden, and then Tom Flores. Good grief. Do you remember those teams? I was in love with the Raiders back then.
Those guys could flat play now.
Howie Long and Lyle Alzado and Lester Hayes.
John Matuszak.
And then on the other side, Todd Christensen and Marcus Allen and Jim Plunkett. I mean, those guys. Oh, I loved the Raiders back then. Loved them.
How closely do you keep up with the NFL still?
Very close.
Okay.
Very, very.
So they've obviously kind of had a resurgence there.
Well, what happened? This happened really kind of basically the time that I left. I left and Shell left at the same time in 1995. I became general manager of the Rams. About 1995, Al lost his Raider people that had grown up with him for the previous 20 years. And there were no more Raider people in the Raider organization. And he was involved with guys that had not been Raiders, didn't understand him. Everybody thought that Al wanted people to do it his way. He didn't care. All he wanted to do was win.
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby. That's very true. If you won your own way, then you're fine. If you didn't win your own way, then, yeah, you could see that he'd wanted it done his way because his way was a winning way.
All right, before we take a break, let's get to the phone because Jim has been hanging on here. Jim, we really appreciate you hanging on. Good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Let me tell you what, those Raider teams knew how to hit people.
Yes. God, I love Lester Hayes. Lester Hayes was a nasty cornerback.
Well, and, you know, the thing is, you know, Coach, you recall, you know, the first 2 weeks I was saying we weren't hitting anybody. We weren't tackling, we weren't blocking. And now we're tackling and we're blocking, and you see the difference.
Yeah, he's got the physicality point across to him. He really does, and we're learning to play that way. And I hope that manifests itself today because we were talking about why the line is what it is, and I think the line is what it is because people remember this defense the way it was the first 2 and 3 weeks of this season, and it is a different defense now.
But you remember the Florida quarterback? I said no matter what, next year his jersey would get dirty.
Right.
I'd love to play him now. I'd love to play him this week. Let's see if this jersey gets dirty or not. You know, what a punk.
Well, I think the physicality on the other line has been just as important. That offensive line where they have rotated in nine guys that they're playing and big guys, and their physicality coupled with Benny Snell's physical running style has been effective in the South Carolina game, in the Vanderbilt game. I mean, they forged a new identity with the way they were playing.
They haven't gotten enough credit, particularly in the Herald Leader. They have not gotten enough credit. But these guys are making this team go at this point. And if they can step up today, today is a big test for these guys, because today it's not only can you run the football, it's can you burn the clock. You've got to keep this 100-play offense off the field.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Completely agree.
And I love that they've been able to bring along so many offensive linemen. I mean, when you've got Alabama saying, and their All-American defensive end, who's continued to play like an All-American this season, saying, as a senior at Alabama, that the Kentucky game was one of the most physical college football games he played, and he was going up against freshman Landon Young most of the time.
Right.
That tells you a whole lot, and that has been the formula for Kentucky to win, is hang on defense and just run that ball. And when you've got JoJo Kemp and Boom Williams and Benny Snell and that offensive line, those are your strengths, and you got to play to them.
Yeah, we've got quite frankly, as fine a backs at this present time as there are in the SEC. Boom is a legitimate college running back, and Snell is an NFL back.
Snell is an NFL back. That's exactly what I thought. I mean, maybe his second carry of the season, I thought, this guy is a different dude. He is at a different level. One thing before we go to break, just one point I want to make is, or point out, UK as a team has its most rushing yards through the first seven games since 2007. When you were there, Coach.
Yeah, that's when we beat LSU.
Yes. Now, the best moment I've had here.
Listen to the players, in case you've forgotten, 2007. The guys who contributed to these rushing yards. Ralphiel Little, Derek Locke, Tony Dixon, Alfonso Smith, and then your fullbacks were Monsell Allen and John Connor.
Big-time players. All of them big-time college players. Very big. In fact, I've said this on this radio show before. Ralphiel Little is one of the five best football players I've ever been around.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think he had 42 catches, too, that year.
Yeah.
I mean, the catches on that team, by the way, were Stevie Johnson, Keenan Burton, Dickie Lyons Jr., Jacob Tammy, Ralphiel Little.
And it's Keenan Burton's birthday today, so
happy birthday to him. Keenan. Happy birthday. All right, we got to take a break, Jim. Anything else quickly before we go?
All I can say is I wish you guys could see me right now. I'm sitting on my couch with a big smile on my face.
All right.
Good for you.
Thank you, Jim. We're smiling, too. And we'll be back with more here in about – we'll do another segment of football, and then in about 10 minutes, Evan Daniels from FS1 and Scout.com will join us here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike and Joe Madden, the manager of the Cubs, and going back to the beginning of the season when the expectations for this team were extraordinarily high. When you're trailing 2-1 in the National League Championship Series and you have been shut out in consecutive games, how did your team embrace that pressure and turn it to where it became an offensive explosion basically from that point forward?
Mike and Mike. Mike and Mike. Weekdays 6 to 10 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, it's Matthew Lawrence, and I want to tell you about the best dentist I've ever had. His name is David Monson, and he's at Monson Family Dentistry. He does all aspects of dentistry, implants, crowns and bridges, root canals, dentures, Invisalign for adults and for kids. He's the best dentist for my kids that I've ever had. He explains thoroughly every treatment option and centers it around you. It's David Monson at MonsonFamilyDentistry.com. For a long, long time in Lexington, Hearst Business Supply and Furniture Solutions has been downtown. Well, they've moved. There's a new location at 500 Buck Place off Greendale Road with a fabulous new working showroom. You can see your furniture in action. Just visit them, tour the new facility, or they can come to you. Take a chair test drive. They have it all for your office at Hearst. office products, break room, bathroom, space planning, furniture, everything from the boardroom to the bathroom. No order too small or too large. No space too small or too large. No job is too small or too large. It's local, family-owned, third generation, and it's owned by a wonderful woman named Hope Hurst. Are you the person who orders office products, coffee, break room, bathroom supplies? Get it from one source. Visit HurstGroup.net with everything for the office. Think Hurst first.
Suggins Bar and Grill opened its doors 30 years ago and has become a Chevy Chase tradition. It's the best in family casual dining, offering Southern comfort favorites such as fried banana peppers, award-winning homemade chili, fried catfish, and of course their big, juicy half-pound hamburgers with toppings you choose, all at prices that will make you glad you brought the whole family. Stop by and check out their daily lunch and dinner specials made fresh daily. Suggins Bar and Grill on Romney Road, open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
DJ Citrus Drop Warrior on the ones and twos, Mary Jo.
Big K.
We're here with Coach Steve Ortmeyer on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, talking about Kentucky and Missouri. Noon kickoff on the SEC Network, and somehow, someway, Missouri is as much as a 7-point favorite in some books, as low as a 5.5-point favorite, but we're all a bit miffed how that has come to be. But, Coach, what do you see on the matchups? As far as things go with these, I was looking at Missouri's defensive line, which they haven't played. They have the worst total defense in the SEC, last in that category. But I did see that these guys that play for them on the defensive line, three redshirt juniors and a redshirt senior, and those inside guys go 6'2", 325, and 6'4", 320. And then defensive end Charles Harris, 6'3", 260, had three sacks and another tackle for a loss against Georgia.
Yeah, they're big guys, and they as we said about their offensive line, their offensive line is big guys also. They're not young guys because most all of them have been redshirted. Missouri has a program that has gotten to the point that is able to redshirt good players because they had better players in front of them that have now graduated. But it's these guys' turn now, and this offensive line is really turning out to be what they hoped it would. This is the way you'd like to run your program. You'd like to be able to step in with an inexperienced offensive line, not young, but inexperienced offensive line, and protect the quarterback the way these guys have this year. It's very impressive.
Especially for how much he throws the ball.
Yes, for how much he throws the ball, and for these guys having only three starts among them total prior to going into the season, it's very impressive. But we're going to have to figure out some way to get to this quarterback today, and obviously that starts with Jones and our outside backers. Those have to be our pass rush guys. We do not have that kind of player in our interior defensive line. Our guys in the interior are run stoppers, and we're going to have to figure out ways to get to this quarterback today. But I think one of the key matchups of this game, as we talked about in the last segment, is quarterback ball security. If this quarterback is willing to throw us the ball once or twice, and if Steve Johnson can handle ball protection today, then that's a huge advantage for us. If we can create one or two turnovers that we get, that'll go a long ways towards winning this game.
Now, Missouri's turned it over as many times as they've gained turnovers. They've lost the ball 14 times. They've gotten it 14 times. They are tied with Florida for the league lead in interceptions. They've got 10 picks of opposing QB. So if Johnson leads the league in fumbles, now he's facing a team that also likes to pick it off.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so we don't need to be in a throwing game with this team.
No.
In any way. That's not who Johnson is, first of all. And second of all, the strength of their defense is their secondary. So we need to be able to establish the run, continue drives, and create passing situations off the run, which is what Johnson is pretty good at. Johnson has a chance to be pretty good as a quarterback if we can create passing off the run. That'll be a big factor. But another big factor today, as far as matchups go, in my opinion, is if our receivers can finally create some yards after the catch. Yards after the catch can be very big in this game today. It can be big in any game, but today I think it's really crucial because we're going to need some yards to complement the run game.
Yeah, just to be clear, he didn't say he wanted to see them play like yak. He wanted to see some yak.
Well, let me ask you this, Coach. If Kentucky wins today, and then they'll have five wins, and we can all assume that they will beat Austin Peay.
0-7 Austin Peay,
yes. So that they will get their bowl eligibility. Do you anticipate seeing Drew Barker back on the field? I don't know the extent of his injury, but do you expect to see him back this year?
I don't anticipate seeing Drew Barker at all. And I don't anticipate, hopefully, seeing whoever Steve Johnson's backup is going to be, Gunner or whoever it is. I don't want to see him this year either.
Yeah.
We need to get a redshirt year in him. And apparently they got a commitment from the kid in Ohio the other day.
Yeah.
Which is that's exciting because he was committed to Ohio State, and I respect getting players in here that Ohio State has recruited and had committed.
Absolutely,
that's the way to build this program.
Yeah, especially at that position.
Well, and that's how you judge Mark Stoops' recruiting, is you look at who those kids said no to say yes to Kentucky.
That's exactly right. That's a point that needs to be made and made continually when we're getting the players. And we're beating Ohio University and Dayton. I'm not buying into that. When you're beating Michigan and Ohio State on a player, we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Missouri, their offense, they come at you. You said 100 plays twice in a game this season. Well, they come at you with Drew Locke, who's second in the SEC in passing yards per game, and TD passes.
He throws it a ton.
Yeah. And then Jamon Moore, he leads the SEC in TD catches. He's second in receiving yards.
Yeah.
He had 196 yards receiving against Georgia. But then you've got these two running backs, true freshman Demaryius Crockett and then Ish Witter. Now, Crockett has had three 100-yard games this season. And you mentioned to be able to run for 200 yards twice this season.
Crockett is turning out to be the real deal. We'll get to find out for ourselves today. But he has... He has put a lot of yards up. He's put up 300 yards the last 2 weeks running the football. And Ish Witter against Middle Tennessee last week, which is not a particular good standard, but he gained over 100 too. So they've got a running back complement. Heupel is now starting to run the ball as effectively as he is throw it. So we're going to get multiple situations today, another reason to keep this offense off the field today.
Exactly.
Well, there's some good freshman running backs in the SEC, aren't there?
Yeah.
We'll see a couple of them today.
Yeah, we'll see two of them today. I tend to really like the one at Kentucky.
Yeah. My money's on Benny the Bruiser. All right, next we're going to take a break from football and talk basketball with Evan Daniels, a guy who knows a lot about it, Scout.com, national recruiting analyst for Scout.com. He has added FS1 as an analyst there to his resume. He's got a new podcast out. He lives here in Lexington, and he is a big deal in the college basketball world, and he watched some college basketball practice this week at Kentucky. His insights next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our four convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic Banking Center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown.
Welcome to Nick Ryan's, where sophisticated dining meets fun. We invite you to come and treat yourself to lunch or dinner in our beautiful Southern-style dining room. Come see us today. We're located at 157 Jefferson Street. Try our homemade soups, unique fresh salads, or a local favorite entree for a lunch to remember. For dinner, let Nick Ryan's exceed your expectations with house favorites like shrimp and grits, braised beef short ribs, or bourbon brine fried chicken. Come visit Nick Ryan's for their Saturday brunch and enjoy our Bloody Mary Bar from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Nick Ryan's also features slow roasted prime rib every Wednesday night. Open Monday through Saturday at 157 Jefferson Street. For reservations, call 233-7900 or visit nickryans.com. That's 233-7900. Or make an easy online reservation at nickryans.com.
Ride in your truck with style. On the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you. On the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play. At the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mary Jo, I believe it was a blue moon last night or maybe tonight. Because it's once in a blue moon that we get Evan Daniels on the show from FS1 and Scout.com. I kid. He's been on the show a little bit. Yeah, he's been on the show several times, and any time I've ever asked him, it's because he's in the middle of working and earning a living. And, Evan, we appreciate you making time for us this morning. Good morning.
What's up, guys? How are you all? I'm glad to be back.
We are so glad to have you. Let's get this out of the way. You just started a new podcast. So far, you've had Mike Krzyzewski on.
Now, wait a minute. Just stop for a minute right there, Mary Jo. Let me just tell you something. Evan, I did not say a word to her about promoting your podcast. I promise you. I didn't even say a word. She's doing this on her own.
Yes.
I promise you.
Yes. And you're going to have Jay Wright. Just talk about getting this going and where people can find it, obviously, on iTunes. It's called The Sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called The Sidelines, and you can find it on iTunes. It should be on every podcast app. I'll be honest with you, I'm just now getting familiar with all of that. But I'm excited about it. It's been a lot of fun. I went out, I guess it was a week and a half ago now, and sat down with Mike Krzyzewski for 20, 25 minutes. And I thought that interview turned out pretty good. And he talked a lot about USA basketball and some other stuff. And then on Monday, the second one will come out. It's been about 30 minutes with Jay Wright, kind of talking national championship and a couple of other things. So it's going to be a weekly deal, and it should be a lot of fun. The goal for it is just to, you know, bring on, you know, the biggest names and coaches and kind of get to know them better. It's not going to be just about their teams. I think, you know, the audience wants to get to know these people.
Now, are you going to start on, like, any cold case murders and follow those through? Because those are kind of
that's all the rave now.
Yeah.
Podcast.
I don't think that's the plan.
Your next guest is not going to be Dave Bliss.
Wow.
Sorry. That was terrible. This went off the rails. We want to talk about something.
Well, here's the thing you need to know about Evan is he has built a relationship with so many of the guys on these staffs over the years that it's a little bit different than just your regular national reporter calling up and saying, hey, can I do an interview with you? He's known these guys and built a relationship with them. And, you know, he serves a purpose for them as well with his analysis of the guys they want to play for their programs. Am I right in that assessment?
Yeah, I think that's pretty right. You know, I've been lucky enough and blessed enough with my job at Scout to, you know, travel around and watch the best high school players in the country and evaluate them and cover their recruiting. And, you know, through that, you know, I've built some good relationships with these guys, and it's obviously going to help me a lot with this new job.
So as part of building those relationships, sometimes you get a few perks that some of us would love, and one of those is getting to watch practice over at UK the other day. What were your big takeaways from seeing this group?
Well, Mary Jo, it's an athletic group, and it starts in the backcourt with De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. I was really impressed, and granted, I've seen these kids a lot. You know, with Kentucky, it's a little different because they're recruiting all top 20 players who I've seen since we're freshmen. So I've watched these guys kind of grow and mature. So I wouldn't say that I necessarily learned a lot new, at least on the freshmen. But De'Aaron Fox's speed is ridiculous. I mean, he's going to remind Kentucky fans of John Wall with his end-to-end speed. Malik Monk's a freak show athlete, which anybody that watched their Big Blue game, that he had ridiculous dunk. But he's also shooting the ball so much better. He's really improved his ability to shoot from three. In my opinion, he was just an average shooter in high school. And he's really taken a step forward at Spears. And then I think Bam, I'll be shocked if he doesn't lead the SEC in dunks. He's just so physical and tough and athletic and runs rim to rim and plays with tremendous energy. So I think it's going to be a good team. You know, just kind of randomly, I think Derek Willis is going to be pretty key for that team. You know, when they were getting up and down and scrimmaging, and he kind of went on a run where he had a couple jump shots. And I think having a guy like them that can stretch the floor, especially at that position, can really open up the floor for those guys.
So when you watched that practice, were you watching one team that had Briscoe, Fox, and Monk all on one versus another team of, I guess, Mulder?
Okay. Those guys were playing together. And, you know, I could talk about every guy that was there, and I thought Briscoe was really good. That kid is so competitive, and he's always been this way. But he was really aggressive with the ball in his hands. He was driving, made a couple really nice passes. And, you know, the thing about Isaiah Briscoe, and, you know, I guess with Tyler Ulis at Kentucky last year, Briscoe didn't really get to have the ball in his hands a ton, but I think that's when he's at his best. He's such a good passer. So I think he'll probably be – obviously, De'Aaron's going to play on the ball the most, but I think Isaiah's going to have the ball in his hands a little bit more often. And he's a good decision-maker and a good passer.
That's what I was going to ask. We're talking with Evan Daniels of FS1, Fox Sports Scout, the whole nine yards. What does the chemistry of the three of them look like together when you're talking about De'Aaron, Malik, and Isaiah?
Truthfully, they look like they've been playing together for a long time.
Good.
I thought their chemistry was pretty good. And like I said, I think, you know, with De'Aaron and Malik being such good athletes, they're both laterally quick, decent length, and then you throw Isaiah in there, those are three guys that have a chance to be really good on-the-ball defenders. Now, obviously, Fox and Monk are both freshmen, and it's going to be a learning curve, but I think those guys have a chance to be a pretty good defending backcourt if they buy in.
Now, we've heard about the speed, and Mary Jo, we've talked about this before. I've already compared what I'm hearing from Calipari to what we saw in 2012. That team was able to 2-3 passes, a couple bounces, go full court, get it rim to rim that way. Did you see that? Do you get that feeling of that same kind of ability to just get it rim to rim in no time like 2012's team did?
No question. They're going to play fast. And I think what's going to help that team is with Bam Adebayo's ability to run the floor and run rim to rim, but then also you've got De'Aaron throwing the ball ahead. And there's just so much team speed. Well, they're definitely going to play fast. There's no doubt about that.
So, when you look at all the preseason polls, we've got a lot of blue bloods kind of up there again. Kansas and Duke and Kentucky and Villanova. Is there a team that maybe we haven't heard a whole lot about that you expect big things from?
Well, that's a great question. I guess it doesn't count because they're in the top 10, but I watched Xavier practice and was pretty impressed with their backcourt. And, you know, I haven't seen them yet this year, but I think Creighton's going to be pretty good. You know, they've got a really good point guard back in Maurice Watson, and then a transfer from Kansas State, Marcus Foster, that can really score the basketball, and they're going to be deep. I like Texas's team. They're not getting much talk at all, and you know, really, when you think Big 12, especially with how many conference titles they've won in a row, you think Kansas. But I think Shaka Smart has some pretty good scoring weapons, and they got a guy in Jared Adams, a freshman, that is exceeding expectations, and he's going to be a really good player. So maybe Texas.
I love Shaka Smart, by the way. Mm-hmm. That guy is just – he is a heck of a coach.
Make sure you listen to my third podcast.
All right. A little hint.
So it's not Dave Bliss.
Oh, God. Again with the Bliss. Though SEC-wise, anybody in the SEC that stands out to you to give Kentucky any trouble at all?
I mean, I think Kentucky's going to win the SEC.
Yeah.
I think Florida has a chance to be a pretty good team. You know, they're going to be improved. They're going to be deep. They've got some talent. I would probably go with Florida. I believe they were picked to finish second. Correct me if I'm wrong. In the preseason, yes.
It was them or Texas A&M.
Yeah. It was, yeah. There was second.
So the issue with Texas A&M, and I would have said that they could give Kentucky a run, but they lost their point guard JJ Caldwell, and to academic ineligibility, and that really hurt them because they don't have a true point guard on the roster. Mm. Thing is their roster is pretty. They have, other than that, they have pretty much everything. You know, they got Tyler Davis back. They got DJ Hogue back. They got a bunch of really good players, but they're missing that facilitator.
All right, let's get back to Kentucky before we get out of here. Did you get a chance to see Isaac Humphries? Did he?
I did. He didn't practice a ton.
Okay.
Well,
what I was going to ask you about is my concern with him was last year, I think we talked about this, is that he didn't fit what Kentucky's best looked like because he just wasn't a floor runner, I guess. Is he that now?
Well, no, he's not a floor runner. That's not who he is, Dan. That's not who he is. But okay. I thought he was in the best shape that I've ever seen him.
Okay.
He looked trend up, and I know you guys watch the Big Blue game, so you all saw
right.
him. But
right.
I think he looked a little more confident. I think he showed some scoring ability. Got really good hands and touch. I think he's going to make a bigger impact for them this year. I don't think he's going to be the rim runner that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I think he can still be effective, and they're going to need him to be.
Yeah.
So, real quick, we got to get into recruiting. Kind of talk about where Kentucky stands for the next year or so.
So
they need eight, right? They need eight guys.
They're going to need some players.
They'll take as many as they can get. I mean, how about this? It's October 29th, and they don't have one commitment.
I know.
But I'll say this.
Tavion Hollingsworth is out there. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they went by and saw him. I don't know that goes anywhere, mm-hmm. if you want me to be honest.
Western, though, maybe?
Western or UAB are the two schools for Tavion.
Okay.
And you're talking about a 6'3 guard out of Dunbar in Lexington.
Yes.
But in terms of
Sweet
Kentucky
16 hero.
What'd you say? Yeah.
Sweet 16 hero.
They won MVP. They won the state title.
Yes.
But with Kentucky's recruiting, they don't have a commitment right now, but I still think they'll end up with, you know, a top three recruiting class. They've either been one or two the last 8 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty safe bet. But I think they're the leader in odds on favorites for PJ Washington and Nick Richards. I would be surprised if they don't get those two. And then things could go a variety of ways. There's a couple point guards that are on, Trey Young, Quade Green, and most recently Shea Alexander, who they haven't offered yet. But, you know, Quade is going to decide in this early period between Kentucky and Syracuse. Trey's going to wait, but his deal is more between Kentucky, Kansas, Oklahoma. It's a first-come, first-serve situation. You know, I don't foresee them getting both. With Shea, you know, if they were to miss out on, you know, Trey or Quad A, I think that they would really ramp things up with Shea and have a pretty good shot. And the truth is, there's not a huge difference between those guys. You know, we have Shea in the mid-40s, really talented. He's more of a point guard. He can really facilitate. And then, you know, they're on Mohamed Bamba. They're on Kevin Knox, who are both waiting, a handful of others. They're going to end up with four or five top 25 players and have a normal class that they usually do.
But not John Petty, right?
You know, I would be like, John Petty's announcing in Alabama at the halftime of his high school game.
Yeah.
How often do you announce, I guess unless you're LeBron, do you announce for something different than where you're located?
Yeah.
If you're doing it that way.
Right. Okay. Evan, great stuff as always.
I hope
always,
that answered
man.
Your question.
Yes, yeah. It did. Absolutely. 100%. Yes. I'm clear. Yeah, thanks as always, Evan. Really appreciate it. Once again, you can catch the podcast. It's called?
The Sideline.
The Sideline.
There you go.
On iTunes. And you can also get Evan's work at scout.com and watch him on FS1.
So do you have a studio set up in your house, or are you traveling a lot for that?
I will be traveling a lot.
Okay.
I don't have a studio set up in my house.
That'd be awesome.
I would. I'm looking forward to the season. It's going to be a lot of fun. Something that I've kind of been looking forward to do, so it's going to be fun.
All right, thanks again, Evan. Take care. Have a good weekend.
We'll be catching thanks up with you as soon as we can.
That would be awesome. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, Evan.
15 minutes from kickoff, Mary Jo.
I know.
Mizzou, Kentucky, in Columbia. Coach Ortmeier is here with us. We're going to talk to him and get his final thoughts next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Oh, this game always tugs at my heart on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Lucky's Auto Sports is Central Kentucky's largest window tinting facility. Defining ride since 1999. Want to cut down on glare while you're driving? Want to protect your interior? Want that stylish look of darker windows? Bring your car or truck to Lucky's Auto Sports for same-day service and let us tint your windows today. Our staff has over 40 years' experience and all the tools of the trade in auto tinting to ensure quality service. And all of our professional window tinting for your car, truck, RV, or SUV is backed by a lifetime warranty on bubbling, peeling, and fading. Lucky's Auto Sports only uses high-performance films, and all of our tint is computer cut. That means a machine cuts the tint before our technicians apply it to your vehicle's windows, so everything looks factory installed. Call us at 859-299-4444. Or get a quote and download coupons at LuckysAutosports.com today. That's Lucky's Auto Sports, your source for window tinting, auto and truck accessories, car audio, remote starts, and more.
Come experience one of Lexington's hottest spots, the Tulip Bistro and Bar. Located in the heart of Chevy Chase at 355 Romney Road, you can enjoy their lighter fare menu such as tulip tacos or the decadent gourmet cheeseburgers, voted one of Lexington's best. For a more formal evening and dining experience, enjoy Tulip's delicious entrees like cast iron seared ribeye, or treat yourself to the best short ribs you'll ever eat. And don't forget about their seasonal dinner and salad specials. You'll also find fresh oysters and other sophisticated creations by Chef Spencer. Come enjoy their great wine list and outstanding service. The Tulip Bistro and Bar is open Monday through Saturday for dinner. The Tulip Bistro and Bar, 355 Romney Road, in the heart of Chevy Chase. Go to their website, thetulipbistroandbar.com, or call them at 367-6687 to make reservations. That's 859-367-6687. Let the Tulip Bistro and Bar be your next great dining experience.
Schwab's Pipes and Stuff. It's where to go when your day's been rough.
We're family-owned since 1977. Come and enjoy our smoking lounge and patio on Southland Drive.
Hey, hey, our cigars are great and our blends are the bomb. It's time for you to get your smoke on. So head on down to a place you're sure to love. Talking about Schwab's Pipes and Stuff.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
All right, just a few minutes from kickoff. Missouri and Kentucky, noon on the SEC Network.
The crowd in Columbia, not a big one today, it looks like.
Coach Ortmeier has been with us since 10:30 this morning.
with great insight, good stuff. We've talked about a lot. We haven't gotten it all in. So, Coach, I'm going to give you the floor. What would you like to throw in here before this game kicks off?
Let's talk about what I think we got to do to get this done today. And this is a little more intricate than some of the games we faced recently, because some of them were a little bit more straightforward. This team presents some challenges and some problems that we haven't been seeing. But I think, number one, we got to start fast today. We got to get the body clock going at 11 o'clock instead of at the normal time. Because if you fall behind to this team, that's what they're counting on. That's how they're counting on trying to win this game, is getting ahead early and you not being able to catch up because you don't really have a prolific throwing quarterback. The number two thing I think we got to do is the offensive line has to be able to control the running game and control long, sustained drives.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be critical to this game. The number three thing I think we got to do is once we get in the red zone, we've got to finish. We can't afford threes today. It'll have to be sevens. It'll take sevens to win this game, not threes. And that will be a product of execution in the red zone, where we should have an advantage of this team. We've been a good red zone team this year, and we need to continue to be today, and they haven't been a particularly good red zone defense. The number four thing, in my opinion, is special teams have got to step up today in relation to what Stoops has been mentioning a couple of times this week. We've gotten a couple of linebackers nicked, as you know, that are down for the year. And so we've had to fill in on special teams, particularly on our kickoff coverage team, with younger guys who are more inexperienced. That has to step up today. We have to have backup players, the two or three that we're using in our special teams, step up today and be able to play real big-time football, because you can't give them a cheap gain mm-hmm. of any kind in the special teams today. My fifth thing today would be, you know, they are the most penalized team in the league. We're the least penalized team in the league.
Yeah.
That needs to show up today. At least we need to uphold our end of it. We can't go on the road and pick up some penalties today and expect it to be a bullet that we'll be able to dodge, because I just don't think that we will. I think another thing is that with them having three starters out, a defensive tackle and two corners, I think that Grand needs to be able one corner and one weak side linebacker. Grand needs to be able to identify that and be able to attack their people, be able to attack their substitutions and their backups. I think that will create opportunities for us today if we have something in that can take advantage of that. And then aside from that, as we said earlier, I think that our receivers have to step up today and make yards after the catch.
Yeah.
We're going to need some help with the running game, and that's where it needs to happen, is in the control passing game that Johnson can execute. We're going to need to turn some into big plays.
I will say what I've liked that Eddie Grant, I feel like, has done over the last couple of weeks is adjust to his personnel. This may not be the offense that he's totally comfortable running or wants to run, but he's trying to put them, aside from the Steven Johnson play, the 4-yard line, he's trying to put the team in positions where he's got guys that can do what he's asking them to do.
I think that's true. He's learned about this team now. He's comfortable with this team now, with who they are offensively. And Snell has helped him out, too.
Oh, yeah.
Being able to step up and give his comfortability in that zone. You know, as Dan said a couple of times, this basically is a play-in game for a bowl game today. Although, in my opinion, a bowl game is a cheap objective. That's not a real good we need to win this game. Then we need to win the Georgia game.
Yeah.
That's a bigger deal to mm-hmm. me, being able to win them one at a time and being able to finish second, even third, in the SEC East is a major step forward for this football team.
I agree.
Kentucky wins today. And Georgia wins today, Kentucky will be second place or tied for the lead
in the East. Tied for the lead.
Yeah, you're right. Tied for the lead. We'll just need one more loss by Florida to win the thing.
Yeah, and then play Georgia the next week. But look, this reminds me of what you were saying about what Eddie Grant has done to adjust. This reminds me of Neil Brown in his 2 years here as offensive coordinator. What he wanted to do, he couldn't do. So each week it was whatever gave Kentucky the best chance to win, and that's the way they played. And they never had an identity on offense. And people were griping and complaining, where's the air raid? This isn't the air raid. Well, he didn't have the air raid yet. He didn't have the personnel to execute it. We saw what Eddie Grant would like to do in the first half of the season opener.
Yep.
That did not mesh well with what Kentucky had on defense, the youth and inexperience these guys needed 4 or 5 games to get their feet wet, to improve, and to be able to play at the level needed to be able to throw the ball all over the yard. Well, now you don't have the guy that can throw the ball all over the yard, so then you adjust and do the run game. And they saw it work against South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Mississippi State. And now they know that's the formula to win. And I think part of that also goes to what we see with the receivers having some drops now, where they were looked to be a strength of the team going in. Well, they haven't been getting those reps. They haven't been having catches in games. So now maybe they need to get a rhythm going and work before they can get going and be back to what we expected them to be. But when Steven Johnson is not as accurate as Drew Barker was, then there's going to be less opportunities, and Kentucky's receivers absolutely have to capitalize on those opportunities because the formula to win is running the ball first.
Agreed. Totally agreed. And then we need to take the step today. We haven't been winning on the road, particularly in the SEC and in this regime. And what we need today is to step up and refuse to lose.
Mm-hmm. You know, Kentucky's running game may be the unheralded reasons that the defense has seemed so much more improved.
No question.
You know, they're keeping them fresh.
No question.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Look, here's what LSU did to Missouri. All right, this was Ed Orgeron's debut.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. Leonard Fournette didn't play.
It was 1-0? Is that the final?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette didn't play. It was Darius Geis and Darrell Williams. And those two guys, Geis ran for, I think, 163. Yeah. Williams ran for 130. Danny Etling, the LSU quarterback, 19 of 30, 216 yards. Kentucky is not LSU. So the defense is not going to be able to hold Missouri to 7 points. Unlikely. But two running backs going over 100 yards and the quarterback throwing for about 215 yards.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yep.
That's it.
That'll work. We'll take that.
And look, the Georgia game, we were talking about the similarities to 2006 and 2016. The big win over Mississippi State for Coach Brooks. The Georgia win. If Stoops is able to win this game today and then beat Georgia next week, it will be deja vu all over again.
Yeah, and Big Blue Nation needs to show up.
Yes.
And support this team next week if we come out of Columbia with a win today.
Well, I got two buddies from Georgia who went to Georgia. They're there in Jacksonville today for this game.
Are they coming?
They're going to be here.
World's biggest cocktail party.
Yeah. They asked to stay at the house. I said, no, you can't stay with me. Not happening. Guys, find a hotel and. And then one of their buddies, also a UK grad, is sitting with me. So two UK grads and then these two guys from Georgia.
Because this is your game every year, the Georgia game.
I've gone down there once because I'm married with kids. There are a couple guys that are denying that they're in their 30s and that they're not still in college. They're in denial that they're not still in college.
Which is why they can't stay at your house.
Exactly. And that's why they can go to the world's largest cocktail party. I called him yesterday. He's playing beer pong at 6:30 on a Thursday night, Friday night. No. Uh-uh. So the thing is, I've gone once because I can't make these trips. I went once. I went 2009. Was it 2009, Morgan Newton, or was that 2008?
2009.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to that game where Morgan Newton was the quarterback and Washaun Ely fumbled inside the 5-yard line as Georgia looked like they were going to go ahead for the lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And was it Sam Maxwell that had maybe the interception, the big interception there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that was a great game.
Yeah.
Derek Locke was phenomenal. Okay, we got to go. That's it. Coach Ortmeier was great today.
Thank you
we
so much. This was awesome.
You sit in. Yes, great. And now it is time for Missouri and Kentucky on the SEC Network. And tune in tomorrow for the Dan and Mary Joe Show. We'll have Jen Smith from the Lexington Herald Leader to talk about it. And then we also have the Breeders' Cup is next weekend.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Caleb Keller, right?
Yeah, we got to talk about that. So we'll do that. So be sure to tune in tomorrow for the Dan and Mary Joe Show, 9 to 11 here on
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oh, you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
What's the thing to set Isaiah?